Many parents post photos and videos of their precious child on social media because they're proud of their families and they want to stay connected with relatives and friends. But when does it cross the line? Question we're considering now in the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Some Instagram stars have made it a lucrative business. We might hear this new term, sharenting, tossed around. It's used to describe the overuse of social media by parents to share content based on their children. It's related to the concept of TMI. So is it wrong to mix kids and social media? When do you think these posts and pics cross a line? And what about privacy? 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Priya Kumar is a doctoral candidate at the University of Maryland's College of Information Studies. Her research focuses on the intersection of families, technology use, and privacy. Priya, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
So where do you come down on this? Is it okay for parents to post about their kids on social media?
So I get this question all the time, and I would say it depends on how the parent feels about it at the end of the day. I think it's really important to sort of think about what's new in this practice and what's not new. And this idea that, you know, parents are taking pictures of their family, of their kids, they're sharing them with others. That's something that families have done since cameras have been around. You know, people have been recording their details of everyday life since we've had diaries, which has been for centuries. So I think this desire to sort of want to share your family with others is age old. And social media is where we do it now. So parents who do that, I think it's fine. There are parents who would choose not to, and I do think that's fine also. For me, the most important thing is that parents think about what they, you know, want to be doing. Is this something they want to be doing? How do they want to be doing social media? And then communicating that with others.
But how do you set up some certain boundaries? I mean, it's always nice to have a quota or a threshold when you set up these parameters for yourself.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And so that's where I think, it's, you know, for people who are expecting a child, you know, before they've created this digital footprint for a child, thinking what sort of a social media footprint do they want to have? And even for parents who already have children, you know, thinking about first, what is your social media use? What role does social media play in your life? You know, if it's a benefit for you, if you get a lot of joy and satisfaction out of being able to share with people, then that's great. And you probably will get that you'll probably continue doing that by sharing information about your kids. But if you find sort of social media to be stressful or feel pressure, then, you know, maybe it's not playing a good role in your life. So I think that's a good starting point. But then also, especially for people whose kids are a little bit older, you know, talking to your kids about this question, I think is really important. So even as young as sort of around ages 4 to 6, children are developing a sense of self. So even for children that young, I would say parents can talk to their kids and ask them, how do they feel about it? Sort of explain them on a rudimentary level what social media is and what they think about having their pictures on there. And then, of course, continuing those conversations or definitely having them with older children. I think obviously it's a little more difficult when you have a newborn because you are kind of the one making the decision. But I would say sort of step back and think about the role that social media plays in your life and then reflect that sort of in your use of social media around information about your kids.
So where might this go off rail here? What are some potential consequences for children of having photos or information about them posted online, no matter how cute they are or positive?
Yeah, that's a good question. And sort of, so for as long as I've been studying this topic, I've thought about it from this perspective of, you know, today's children are inheriting this digital footprint, whereas for a lot of us, we sort of got to create our own. And I think one of the biggest fears does come down to sort of the privacy question of, are children going to grow up and then one day think, oh, all of these people sort of saw me grow up, or they saw these all of these mundane details about their life. And I think that's one of the questions that really animates this debate. There are also questions around, you know, where could this content go? And that's where, you know, I think it's helpful to think about how has this practice changed. So I talked a little bit earlier about how this desire to, you know, document our children's childhood is nothing new. But of course, the way that we do it is. And so, yes, the design of the technologies that we use does mean that when parents post these pictures online, they can, it's more easy for them to spread in terms of going viral in ways that are unexpected. The audience for these types of pictures is much broader, and it's persistent. So people can go and scroll back through and sort of look at pictures that somebody posted years ago. And I think that's where the privacy concerns come up. But, you know, again, this is something that all of us are dealing with. I mean, a lot of us are on social media, whether we use it or whether other people have posted pictures of us. So I think this is something that's definitely, you know, facing the new generation. But then again, the world is always different for our children than it was for us and than it was for our parents. So they will figure out how to navigate this.
In the end, we're talking with Priya Kumar. She is a PhD candidate at the University of Maryland's College of Information Studies. And you can join in this conversation. What is your policy on posting photos or information about your kids on social media? Do you think tech companies should have more stringent policies in place to protect children's information on social media? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Priya, if you go on Instagram, you can, it's hard not to come across a cute baby or a toddler in a swimming pool or something, but some Instagram stars are also making money off of these photos. How does that work?
Sure. So I think that's part of sort of the broader phenomenon around this idea of making a living off of being an influencer. There are, moms who blogged, sort of colloquially called mommy bloggers, have been doing this for at least a decade, if not longer, this idea of sort of writing about your life and then and making money off of that. I mean, children themselves have been making money. And if you think about child actors, they've been around for about a century. So again, aspects of the sort of Instagram child star aren't new. But of course, some of them are, in that it's a lot easier for somebody to sort of start doing that. I think there is definitely a difference between the sort of everyday, you know, a parent posting a cute picture occasionally or just sort of on their own Facebook profile, then families or parents using social media to generate income. I think those are two different practices. And certainly aspects of, there are sort of ethical or other questions that come up for sort of the idea of making money off of a child's likeness or sort of life. But I think it is also important to remember that itself isn't completely new.
Let's go to Aaron now in Oshkosh. Aaron, what are your thoughts on this?
Hi, I was wondering about the identity theft implications of posting your child on social media growing up and things like that.
So you mean, could someone steal a child's identity based on what you're posting?
Exactly, their photos. I've heard things about fingerprints and photos where people are waving. Is that a real threat to your child?
Priya, what do we know here?
So that's a great question. I don't know about that specific question about fingerprints. I do know child identity theft is actually it can happen. The Federal Trade Commission does have some resources around protecting it or protecting against it. And I think that's where it comes down to sort of never post a child's social security number for sure. Try not to post sort of their birth date, although I know that when people post birth announcements, that, you know, inevitably ends up happening. But I think this is where drawing some sort of common sense boundaries for yourself around the types of information you will and won't share comes in handy. And I think it can be helpful to remember sort of what would you do if you wanted to protect yourself from identity theft? Similar things. So not posting sort of details like your social security number, your birth date, your location, the location of your child's school or daycare, things like that. Not posting any sort of financial information. Creating a Google alert for your child's name could be one way to sort of make sure you know if anyone else is talking about your child. If you're really concerned about pictures, some parents have decided that they won't post pictures of a child's face, for example. So you can post pictures of the child from behind, you know, pictures of the child holding something or their feet in the sand, something like that, to avoid sort of their face being in there. Thinking about the types of information you might be revealing when you post is important, but I think that there are ways to share without sort of revealing that type of personal information.
Erin, may I ask, when you post, or do you think about this type of thing when you do post to social media with a child's image or information?
So I actually don't have children yet, but we're talking about having them, and I have friends that don't show their child's face in photos, and I have parents that are sort of in that TMI category and post everything about their child. And so we're just starting to think about what plan should we take on social media for our child.
And so you kind of are figuring out where are you on that spectrum, and it sounds like, Priya, this is a spectrum.
It is, and I think that's great, Erin, that you're thinking about it now. One thing that I think is also important is, you know, of course, if you have a partner or something, talking about this with your partner so that you are on the same page, and then also making sure to communicate your preferences to other people can be really important. So whatever you decide to do, just tell, you know, communicating with the grandparents or family or close friends to let them know, hey, are you posting or not posting? If you are going to post pictures, where? A lot of people will choose to do it on a different site, you know, not Facebook or something like that. And then do you care if other people post pictures of your child? So just think about it, but then, you know, communicate it to other people.
Coordinating a plan. Priya Kumar researches families, technology use, and privacy at the University of Maryland. Parents are questioning the wisdom of posting so much about their kids online. Is sharing pictures online of your child something you should be worrying about? 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation in a minute on the Ideas Network. You're with us on The Morning Show as we talk about posting photos and information about kids on social media. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The London School of Economics published a recent report that found 3/4 of parents who use the internet at least monthly share photos or videos of their children online. And parents are more likely to do this with younger children. A little more than half only share pictures with close family and friends. Where do you come down on this? 800-642-1234. What's your policy on posting photos or information about your kids on social media? How did you arrive at that decision? And do you ask your kids before posting stories about them online? Priya Kumar is our guide. She researches technology use, privacy, and families at the University of Maryland. Let's go back to the phones now with Kelly joining us from Cascade. Hi, Kelly.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Great topic. I'm a mommy blogger. I have wrestled with this very topic. And I've kind of wrestled, too, with keeping my privacy setting kind of personal to friends and, you know, acquaintances, and sometimes I kind of flip it to spread the information more broadly. I've kind of gone back to the more private settings just because that feels right now. So I feel like that's important to just honor where we're at in the moment. The other thing is, as my girls are getting older, I've really been mindful of including them in conversation about, you know, here's what I'm thinking of posting, are you okay with this? They know that it's totally okay for them to say, mommy, please don't post that. And I want to honor their feelings, and I don't want them to be embarrassed by anything. I'm also very careful that if I do post information that's kind of more personal, I share from my perspective about my experience as a mother versus information that might come back to haunt them someday or embarrass them in some way.
Kelly bringing forth a number of points here, Priya. Also moving her privacy settings around based on where mm-hmm. she's at in the information. That's really interesting.
Yeah, Kelly, everything you said, I definitely agree with. It sounds, this idea of thinking about it, talking to your kids. I think all that is really, really important. But you definitely raise a really good point around privacy settings. And yes, obviously, this stuff changes over time. You might be fine posting publicly at some point in time, and then at a different point in time, change your mind. And so, yes, it is important to think about every so often what your privacy settings are and make them fit sort of what you want to be doing. But I think this is a great point to sort of show that this is a broader problem than just, you know, how us as individual parents decide what to do. And this idea of wrestling with it, going back to sort of the way that a lot of these platforms that we use are designed. And so, you know, we live in a world where a lot of the places where we go to share information about ourselves, whether it's social media or whether it's blogging online, are dominated by companies that essentially use surveillance as their business model. So we live in a world where sort of companies are extracting data from us and using it in ways that we don't know. And I think that is the sort of, when we talk about privacy, that's the bigger problem here. And that, of course, is much larger than just the question of posting pictures of children, but it's a question we're thinking about as that logic starts to extend into other industries, this idea of sort of data-driven decision-making. So yes, the fact that you're wrestling with it, I think, is emblematic of the fact that we as a society are wrestling with these same types of questions, even when it comes to other types of data or material.
Let's bring in Ben from Wanakee into the conversation. Ben, where are you on this?
Yeah, good morning. I just have a question, comment. You know, social media typically portrays the beautiful side of life, the perfect side of life, and so it is also with posts that include our children. As these children grow up and possibly become adults themselves and only see the side of perfection, what effects does that have as far as maybe fostering a culture of perfectionism?
Priya?
Ben, that's a great question. I think it gets to also this idea that, you know, in our cultural moment, there's this idea of sort of intensive parenting and that we have to devote our entire lives towards, you know, investing in our children so that they turn out perfect and then making sure that everyone sees that that is effortless. I mean, I think that's very much sort of the way we approach parenting now, and that is definitely problematic. But I think, how do we help sort of our kids realize that that's not reality? And that, I think, comes back to sort of that communication between parents and kids. So if you are taking a picture and posting it, showing your child like, oh yeah, I took 6 pictures of you just now, but which one should I post? You know, I'm going to post the best one because a lot of people are going to see it. But making sure that they recognize that what goes on Facebook or what gets sent out in the sort of holiday Christmas card is very intentionally the best picture, and that but life itself isn't always the best picture, and that when you look at other people's pictures, you don't necessarily know what's going on. So I agree. I think it's a broader problem around sort of this culture that we have around parenting, but I think the way that we can address that sort of with our own kids is just talking with them about it. Like, what is social media? What does it reflect? And making sure they know it doesn't reflect everyday life. It definitely reflects the version of life that we want to portray to others, which we do because the audience on social media is so broad.
So as we look at this data and this information and all of these images out there, I mean, just in billions, perhaps, I don't even know how many, where do we go with tech companies on privacy? We saw in France, grown children can sue their parents for posting photos of them online. Do you think there should be laws in place to protect children's privacy?
So I definitely think that there is a place for a broad privacy protection for all of us, not just for children. I mean, we do in this country have the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, but that law doesn't actually sort of protect children's privacy from their parents posting information about them online, because it's the parents that are posting. But I think you know, privacy protection, a baseline privacy protection for all of us would, I think, go a long way towards addressing some of the big privacy questions that we have. I mean, the European Union has had data protection law in place for since 1995, and then last year's GDPR, the General Data Protection Regulation, made it stronger. But we in the US sort of, we have privacy laws for specific types of information, but we don't have this kind of a baseline privacy law. So I think having that kind of law would help all of us. When it comes to the individual question of, you know, if a child grows up and feels very embarrassed about what their parents posted or does feel like their parents invaded their privacy, I don't think a law is going to address that problem. I think at the end of the day, it goes back to that kind of communication. So while your children are younger, sort of having those open lines of communication so that they understand why their pictures are on the internet. And then most important, if a child ever opposes this or says to a parent, I don't want you to post anything of me, I think it's really important to honor their decision, to respect their decision, and to give them some say over how they are being represented online. And so hopefully that type of communication can forestall any potential concerns.
Priya, as we wrap up here, is there a low-tech way to perhaps approach this, share, feel good about sharing, but that doesn't have such high stakes as social media?
That's a really good question. I mean, I think there's always email, good old-fashioned email. There's getting your pictures printed and dropping them in the mail. I know some parents that I've interviewed will create a physical baby book. They'll print out pictures and then they'll mail that to the grandparents. I think the problem is a lot of the low-tech approaches are time-consuming, and that's part of the draw. You know, social media is so convenient. But I think, you know, going back to sort of being a little more intentional, making sure that you have the physical copy might be good for some people. And that is sort of a good reminder, always back up your pictures. A lot of people use social media as their sort of modern day baby book or as their photo album, but you don't want those pictures to disappear. So it's good to have the analog photos no matter what.
Priya, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Priya Kumar is a PhD candidate at the University of Maryland's College of Information Studies, and her research focuses on the intersection of families, technology use, and privacy. Just ahead, by some measures, the U.S. economy is humming along. We look at the American worker, though, in crisis. I'm Kate Archer Kent. It's The Morning Show, and you're with us on the Ideas Network.